welcome to the summer series with me, Nicole Sachs, on the Cure for Chronic Pain Network. You are here. Hello, my friends. I hope today is a good day and I'm finding you in a good place. This is Nicole, and welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. This is the summer series, and I am on the road. So let me start by saying that on the road today means New York City. And as I begin this recording, I hear sirens and horns and all sorts of things coming from the city streets. So if you hear some stuff like that, don't be scared. No one is coming to rescue me. I don't need rescuing, at least not at the moment. It's just the sounds of the city. So I felt that I needed to mention that. Anyway, hello. So here we are. I believe this is official episode three of the summer series. And it's been really, really fucking awesome. I have to be honest with you, hearing from all of you guys. So we, as you might know, if you've been listening to the podcast thus far, have set up a SpeakPipe. That is www.speakpipe.com/Nicole Sachs. And you guys are leaving me messages there that I can hear, and I am listening to every single one of them really carefully. And a lot of them are going to be referenced in this episode because so many people are having the same concerns, which is so interesting yet so obvious. You know, oftentimes over the years when people say to me, how is it that you can be so attuned to my story when you just met me a couple sessions ago? And the answer is always the same, which is we are so essentially similar in our fears and our desires and our spaces of joy and our ability to connect and our blocks in connection. We're so similar as human beings. And so that's why. That's why I don't really struggle to understand almost anyone, because first of all, I understand myself, which I've made a really great project of for the past 50 years. And I understand so many others that I've worked with. And so, although today we're going to be playing Kristen's recording and using her question as the sort of the foundation of the podcast, so many of you are having really similar concerns. And so we will be discussing a whole lot of what you guys shared with me on SpeakPipe this week on the podcast. So today on the podcast, I want to talk about making peace with the symptom imperative, the unending struggle of being alive, the concept of it's always something. You know, you can call it the symptom imperative if you're thinking about an actual symptom that's rolling through your body, or you could call it the struggle imperative. I remember I once wrote a blog about the struggle imperative. I think it was my son Oliver was upset about something and he had lost his blankie. I mean, this is how long ago I wrote this, because he's 17. And I remember feeling so bereft about the whole loss of the blankie situation. And as soon as I came to peace with that, I remember laying in my bed, and I had come to peace with it because he had been so accepting of it. And then I had to deal with the heartbreak of his acceptance. And as soon as I felt it starting to wane, I remember something popped up in my head, like, I should really lose weight. And I remember honestly almost laughing out loud to myself and being like, so that's how it's going to be, huh? The moment something that's really like fighting a fire starts to wane in your consciousness, something else is going to pop up. You're going to find some other problem with yourself or what have you. And it felt at the time like I wanted to define it. And what I defined it as was the symptom imperative. I'm sorry, the struggle imperative. So Dr. Sarno coined the symptom imperative, what we're talking about today, which is the way symptoms move around your body, which we're going to discuss in a moment with Kristen's recording. And I think that even when you're not having symptoms, there's the struggle imperative. It is the human, it's not a desire. It's almost like there's just the human condition that we continue to allow something to rise. It's not just, we can't just be at peace. And And I think that's, you know, another cliche, nature abhors a vacuum. You know, as soon as there's any space, we seek to fill it. So we're going to talk today about how we can fill it with something healthier than struggle or symptoms. We can fill it. Well, I'll let that be a spoiler that I leave for you guys. All right. So let's talk more about the symptom imperative. In the 20 years I've been doing this work, over 20 years, many over now, it's one of the most prevalent themes that comes up in my work. And so when I heard Kristen's message, I thought this was an important time to redefine it and to help you guys find where it is existing in your own worlds, in your own lives, and maybe ease that a little because it can be so confusing and frustrating. So as defined by Dr. John Sarno, my mentor, the symptom imperative means that we live in a mind-body system. Sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies, and they are literally interchangeable. You can feel stress and anxiety in your stomach. You can feel a heartbreak in your low energy. You can feel a devastation with a family member, a conflict that you can't seem to resolve in your back. You know, this is just the truth of the matter. This is the truth of the human brain, the nervous system, and the body, and the intricate dance that is always going on. So because of that, because of the fact that we live in this dance between the mind-body system, a symptom that arises in your body is an expression of that fight or flight, that we can be in sustained fight or flight for long periods of time. And when we are, and the mind-body system reaches its maximum density in the reservoir of our rage and shame and sadness and fear and conflict and embarrassment and sadness. And did I say sadness? Yes, I did. So all of those things, when it reaches maximum density, it spills over. We go into a really acute fight or flight. We feel like we would rather, even though we're not choosing this, our brain and our nervous system would rather feel something concrete, physical, and potentially controllable, I put that in quotes, in the body. And so because of that, that's where it lands. You know, like Gabor Maté and Bessel van der Kolk are talking about, you know, when the body keeps the score, that's when we have these physical symptoms. So the symptom itself, the way it's showing up in your body, is kind of arbitrary. And the reason that it's arbitrary, even though it doesn't feel that way at the time, is over the years I've seen people over and over and over again present, let's say, with headaches or migraines, and are able to do the work, and they come to me and they say, "It's incredible, Nicole. I don't get migraines anymore. Maybe I used to get one once a week and now I get one once every 6 months, but it's so annoying. You know, I've got this stomach thing that won't seem to go away." And, you know, I went to a doctor and then I went to a specialist and I was diagnosed with IBS and I was diagnosed with, you know, different, and I was given different treatments and I'm on an elimination diet, and I helped that person understand, I know that your stomach is the issue right now. It is 100% real. You're not making it up or creating it. It is not in your head. You have stomach problems right now. You used to have migraines. Now you have stomach problems, but it's a beautiful thing that I know exactly what's happening to you. What's happening to you is you're in the midst of the symptom imperative. The brain and the nervous system were in fight or flight that was sustained. It was determined in your mind-body system, which is something that none of us, not even the best doctors at Harvard and Mayo and Hopkins and wherever you go, can actually explain, because the human being has not yet understood the complexity of the human brain. But in the workings of the human brain, when we are in that amount of stress, it needs to be offloaded somewhere. Maybe that's the most simple way I can say it. That amount of stress needs to be offloaded somewhere, and we carry it in our body. So right now you're having a stomach thing, very real. However, what it is it's the symptom imperative. It is the imperative of the brain and the nervous system to give you something to release you from the impossible conflict that feels like it's going on in your mind and heart. And so, right, it used to be migraines. You kind of called those migraines out. You did the journal speak and the meditation and the belief work that I teach and the Sarno work that you've studied and wherever else. And your headaches have waned, because that's what happens, because you are no longer distracted by them. They're not doing their job. The only reason to have the level of headaches you were having is because it was distracting you from this impossible conflict and fear and rage and sadness and grief and, you know, all the things. Rage. Did I say rage? I keep saying the same thing over and again. But the point is that all these feelings are so huge and they're living inside your system. And when the headaches were no longer doing their job to distract you, they waned. But there is still more work to be done. And because there's still more work to be done, it was coming out. Now it's coming out in your stomach. So this is something that is normal and natural. And it happens to people all the time. First, they have a headache thing, and then they're doing the work and it moves to their stomach. But that might be brief because they check in with me or they listen to this podcast and they know, oh, okay, I see what's happening. I'm just in the midst of the symptom imperative. It's moving around. And that's okay. And so maybe the stomach thing wanes and then maybe they get a migraine, right? Because the mind-body system is like, let's try this migraine out again because maybe that is going to be distracting again. But you're too wise for that now. And you know that you do not need to have those migraines. And so you continue doing the work. You are intrepid. You're doing your journal speak practice 20 minutes. You're doing your 10 minutes of meditation and it's working and you have a period. Maybe of a few weeks, maybe even more, when you really are, you're just symptom free. And then all of a sudden you reach for a book on a bookshelf one day during a particularly stressful day with your kid and you feel a pull. It feels like it goes all the way down your back. Now, my love, you are in a moment of choice. Are you going to go with the fear that chronic pain needs in order to fuel it? Or are you going to say, ah, I see. It's just the symptom imperative again. Okay. It's trying to get me in my back. Looks like it's time to double down on my journal speak. Look like it's, maybe I've been skipping my meditation. Maybe I have been dwelling too much, perseverating too much on the conflict, whatever. So I think I've actually maybe explained it even more than I intended to. But this is what the symptom imperative is. It is normal. It is natural. And it is what is happening in your body. So why don't we take a moment and listen to Kristen's recording, and then we're going to come back and talk more about it on the other side.
Hi, Nicole. My name is Kristen, and I started doing your work back in February, doing journal speak and doing the podcasts and reading all the books. And I have been pretty successful with it for the most part. I'm gotten myself in this loop of symptom imperatives. I just feels like once one symptom goes away, I'm on to the next, and it kind of goes back and around again. I'm pursuing a new career in firefighting. I also just got married last week. Going to therapy and working this stuff with my family, and I just can't seem to break through this cycle of symptom imperative and all the stress that's coming with pursuing a new career in firefighting and all these life changes. I would love the opportunity to talk to you more about any advice on how to kind of break through this cycle. Thank you so much for this time to speak with you.
Okay, so we hear what's going on for Kristen. She's in the symptom imperative loop and she wants some direction out of it. So now we're going to give some direction. So let's talk about being human. The human desire is to feel like we are making linear progress. Human beings love a timeline. We want healing to be linear because it makes us feel safe to believe that there is a beginning, a middle, and an end to our suffering. You know, we love movies. We love the arc. We want the safety of feeling like the story has a happy ending. But here's the problem. We need to redefine safety because healing resides in the space of rest and repair, not fight or flight. And so anytime we feel unsafe, we're kicking our nervous system into that fight or flight space. And when we do that, we are perpetuating the I'm going to use the word stress as an overreaching umbrella for all those big feelings I keep saying and saying again. And when we perpetuate that stress, it needs to be offloaded somewhere. We get a symptom and it starts rolling around our bodies like the symptom imperative. So we need to redefine safety. If we define healing as linear and our bodies keep proving to us that it isn't, because, you know, the whole point of the symptom imperative is one thing resolves and another thing pops up in its place, our nervous systems will continue to stay in fight or flight and we will never feel safe. So, okay, that's just what's going on. That's going on with us and we have to continue to call it out. I think one of the things I'm calling out, I'm doing most in this podcast, is I'm calling us out. I'm not letting anything be hidden. I'm not letting us stay asleep, walking around asleep. We have to be aware. It doesn't, just because we're aware doesn't mean it's going to solve every one of our problems, but awareness allows us to know what's going on and at least creates that pause I'm always talking about between a stimulus and our response to life. If we don't have a pause, we have a stimulus and we have a reaction. Immediate. We're reacting machines. We're reacting all the time, creating more conflict, creating more problems, creating more stress. When we have awareness and we have an observational self, which is always the goal in this work, to create that pause where we can look at ourselves from outside of ourselves and say, wow, I see what I'm doing here. Wow, it's so interesting. I see that I had these migraines and all of a sudden I'm having this stomach thing and it's not going away. What could be happening instead of going right into the fear? Okay. So let's remember, there is no cure for the human condition. There is no cure for human pain. That is part of being here, guys. The way we access the amount of joy and pleasure and connection and beauty that we always desire and seek in life is because there is the flip side of that, the other side of the coin, which is there is suffering and there is pain and there is struggle and there is conflict. So there is no cure for the human condition because, I'm sorry, that's what we're here for, to feel all these big feelings. And there's no cure for human pain, but there is a cure for chronic pain because chronic pain is an epidemic of fear and meaning. So the question is, how do we not place fear and meaning on everything that happens to us? You know, we want that peace because this cycle will always continue. This is the truth. There is no life without the big feelings that fuel both pain and joy. We cannot have one without the other. So the real goal here, since we're coming to peace, hopefully, with that there's no cure for human pain. So the real goal is not the end of pain, but the freedom to live within our human condition, which includes pain, both within the heart and within the body. So when I was thinking about this, planning this podcast this week, I was thinking about how this has landed for me in my human experience. And one way that has nothing to do with pain, but has more to do with, I guess, the struggle imperative, is something that happened once with my daughter Isabella on her 13th birthday. And it just is a story that came up for me that felt really helpful. So I want to share it with you and maybe it'll be helpful to you. So when Isabella was 13, she was obsessed with Taylor Swift. Obsessed. Her entire room was a shrine. It was borderline embarrassing for her. Nothing embarrasses me. But she literally was like, I think I need to take some of the stuff down to have my friends over. Like, she was obsessed with Taylor Swift every day, every night. And so for her 13th birthday, I wanted to take her to a Taylor Swift concert. And by the time I got my shit together in order to plan it, Taylor had already been through the venues that were closest to where I live. And the only one that worked with our schedule was in Greensboro, North Carolina, which was about a 9-hour drive. But I was like, screw it. I'm doing it. I'm doing this for her. And so I got the tickets and we made the plan that we were going to drive there and we got a hotel and, you know, everything was set. And I did it. You know, and we had an incredible experience. We really did. I hadn't spent that much time alone with her in years. I mean, when you have so many kids, it's really hard to get that much alone time. And also just like the hours and hours in the car and the talking and some real revelatory stuff that came up about the divorce and her dad and just, you know, what stuff she really needed to talk about. I remember it very well. So anyway, I returned from the trip Oh, and the concert was great. And I returned, it really was. And I returned from the trip and I remember talking to my friend, and for some reason, and I couldn't really put my finger on it, I was feeling really deflated. I was like, yes, I loved it. And yes, it was great. But you know, did I love it enough? And you know, and did we really get to everything? And you know, some of the things she said, I feel like she's really not like 100% okay. You know, she's 13. She seems so angsty about things. And I was like complaining. I was reflecting on the trip in a way that didn't feel like it checked the boxes, all the boxes. It didn't feel like it was the bullseye I needed it to be. My friend looked at me. She goes, you know, Nicole, I think I could say something that would really help you. And I said, please. Just like I am to you, I am always desperate for someone to help me. Like, just help me. Tell like, what is it? Relieve me of myself, please. I'm on my knees begging all the time for people to relieve me of my own suffering, my own self. And she goes, when are you going to realize that everything is already ruined? And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, everything is already ruined. It's ruined. We're human. We're flawed. You know, we come into this world like screaming and shitting and barfing and crying, and we're unhappy and we're discontented. And then we grow up and things hurt our feelings, and we have to deal with different people, and we're energetic mismatches to our family and our friends, and somebody bullies us at school. And like, you're not going to make this thing perfect, you know? It's just going to move around, you know? Some one day things are going to feel fine in one place, and then another place it's going to feel flawed, and some days you're going to feel good, but it's never going to be this perfect thing. And like when she said it, it just, my whole world cracked open in a way that kind of it never has closed down again, because what I realized is that my perfectionistic tendencies lead me to want to put a fucking bow on things. I'm swearing a lot in this episode. I'm sorry. To want to put a bow on things, to want to feel like something is finished. I want the linear healing process. I want a beginning, middle, and an end. I want a happy ending. No, guys, it's never going to happen. If you can start with everything is already ruined in the most beautiful possible way, that the human condition is one of pain and suffering as it is one of joy and celebration. If you can be there, you can understand that this is just the human condition. You know, Ram Dass, one of my favorite spiritual teachers, talks about the fact that in the many, many years that he did all the work that he did, first he was a hyperachiever, and he ended up as a professor at Harvard, one of the youngest professors ever to be, I think, the head of one of the, I think, the psych department. He was in a huge position at Harvard. And then he became disillusioned with Harvard, and he did tons of drugs and psychedelics and, you know, experimentation with Tim Leary. And then that felt empty because he said every time he came up, he had to come down. So then he went to India and he studied with his guru Maharaji, and he came to so many understandings about being in this realm of the human incarnation and spiritual. And then he came back to America and he lectured and lectured and lectured for years until he had a stroke that slowed him down. But what he said is, over all those years, he never lost one of his neuroses, which is so hilarious. He said, but what they became were like little schmooze. You know, they would like kind of walk around and bump into each other, and he'd be like, hey, there you are, low self-esteem. I see you. Come on over. Have a seat. You know, there you are, feeling like you'll never be enough for your father's expectations. I see you. There you are, feeling like your body isn't what you want it to look like, or you're not the parent you want to be. Come on in. And he said he would invite them in for tea, and he would line them up like in the family photo, like they were the children. And that is what I want for you guys. And that's what I'm always talking about. If you listen to this podcast about the kindergarten carpet, you know, invite all of your symptoms, all of your struggles, invite everybody in. It's like we're sitting on some huge kindergarten carpet and there's enough room. There's always enough room. Scoot over, join us. It doesn't have to be something that feels so tragic. It can just be acceptance. So we've arrived at the spoiler, my loves. What are we trying to replace the struggle imperative and the symptom imperative with? Considering that we know that life is this cycle that never ends, we're inviting in the imperative of acceptance. How do we make peace with the symptom imperative, with the unending struggle of being alive, because it's always something? It's acceptance. It's understanding that this is what is going to happen. We're saying, duh, yeah, of course I'm having a stomach thing now that my headaches are waning. This is how it goes. And once you understand this, know that it's okay. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. And know that it can feel endless. And that's just a feeling. Feelings aren't facts. We can't believe everything we feel. Because when we get that feeling, that kind of dread that lands deep within us, that this feels endless, this can ignite the nervous system into fight or flight. So we just have to see that endless feeling, invite it onto the kindergarten carpet. Say, here you are, endless. I know, endless. I love you, endless. I know you feel like it's never going to get better. But guess what? This too shall pass, and it will. And when it does pass, guys, that's when I say your body is your proof. When it does pass, each time it passes, you remember and you go, oh yeah, it passed last time. And then your responsibility, this is where you have a responsibility. Your responsibility is to believe it and to log it and to remember that it will pass. Because the very expression of the human existence is to have struggle arise, break us open, move us through these things again and again and again. So just remember the Isabella story with Taylor Swift. We are flawed and ruined. So stop feeling like a failure. You're human. Kristen and everyone else, you are human. This is what we're doing here. So let's start there. Let's stop wanting and needing and having anxiety about the chasm between what is and what could be. You know, if we want to live our lives fully, we can't be afraid of what's next. We just have to know that it will include everything. It will include pain. It will include struggle. It will include moments of incredible release and joy. So as long as we can replace our fear with curiosity, which is what we're always doing here, letting our bodies be our proof, as I just said, we can reframe. We can change our attitude and make space for all things. So, you know, let's talk about what some of the rest of you guys had to say, because Kristen said the challenge feels like we need to break the cycle of the symptom imperative. You know, that's what Kristen, which we all, by the way, Kristen, love, you're not alone. We all want to break the cycle. But here's where I want to reframe it for you guys a little bit. It's not about breaking the cycle about the symptom imperative. We are not here to break a cycle. We are here to live within it, knowing that it will never end, but with the comfort that it will change. So how does it change? It changes when we adjust our mindsets and understand how we come to safety, like we're talking about. And you know, so many of you are concerned, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, not only Kristen, you know, your fears come through in different ways, but the sentiment is the same. So let me tell you a little bit about what some of the rest of you guys said. So Julie mentioned, And when I say mentioned or said, these are in quotes. So I took this directly from you guys. Julie mentioned, I believe in the work, but then I doubt my own recovery. Yes, that's doubt. That's where we can be. That's an emotion. That's a feeling that's going to move through us. Sit with it. Invite it in. Farah said, I alleviate my pain and then I fill that space with anxiety. Exactly, Farah. That is the symptom imperative. Anxiety is just another symptom. Your anxiety is her stomach thing, is his head thing, is her back thing, is his fibromyalgia, is her pelvic pain. It's all being experienced as it moves through our body, but there's nothing to be afraid of. This is what happens. And by the way, let me just say something about the symptom imperative before I go into more of your comments. This is not a life sentence. You're not going to be suffering with something horrible for the rest of your life. I am walking through this world, and so are many, 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 many people I hear from and have worked with around the world who don't have any sort of chronic anything. But what that means is that they've accepted the symptom imperative so wholly that when, you know, they wake up in the morning and they have a tinge of this or that, instead of getting on the symptom train and running to Dr. Google and making appointments with specialists, they say, I see. Yeah, a lot has been going on right now. So my back is feeling a little tight this morning. It's okay. Let me get to the journal speak. Let me shake it off. Let me, you know, connect with my people. Let me have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, a laugh. And they just accept it. And because they're practicing acceptance, because they're filling that vacuum, nature abhors a vacuum. What can we fill it with? Because they're filling it with acceptance, understanding, and being awake. The symptom imperative isn't rolling around their bodies anymore. So just because we're talking about this with a lot of detail does not mean this is the end game for you. And oh, well, you have to accept you're going to suffer the rest of your life. No, it's just that you're accepting the process now. So as suffering comes, or not even suffering, I mean, a little tightness in the back isn't suffering. As a whisper comes, as a tap on the shoulder comes from the mind-body system, you can say, I see, I know what's happening here. And it really goes away. This is how I live my life. So please believe me. Okay. Katiana shared that she journal speaks and does the work, and she was able to rid herself of weekly migraines. Like Katiana's share was really powerful. I think she went from having weekly migraines to having like one twice a year. Huge progress, Katiana. But then she gets pelvic pain. Okay. It's okay. Here we are being human, hand to heart, double hand to heart. We're here being human. It's okay. I hope you can hear my heart as I say this to you. Abby in the UK said she did the work successfully to diminish her chronic pelvic pain, but then she's asking me to help her in breaking free of the fear cycle. I get it. Let's just let fear hold the space for another symptom. Fear can be the symptom imperative / the struggle imperative. Fear is normal and natural. Invite it onto the kindergarten carpet. Invite it to your table. It's just, it can become a little schmoo once you allow it to be just natural, normal. We don't fight it. What we resist persists. What we push away barrels back at us. So just open your arms. This is what's happening. Peggy confided that her journal speak worked wonders to abate her symptoms during COVID, but now she feels worried that her TMS will return as she re-enters the world. Yes, Peggy, I think a lot of us are feeling that. Acceptance. Allow that to be just normal, just natural. So many of us are circling the same theme. You're doing the work, you see it transform you, but then you worry about the cycle continuing. And what will happen next? It's so, so normal. So, you know, so what does this all mean? So how can we make sense of all of this? How can we bring it together and feel like we have somewhere to walk away with this? So just realize this. When we're not looking for a beginning, a middle, and an end to something, when we don't need time to be linear, we open ourselves to infinite possibilities. We are allowing ourselves then not to pre-grieve the future or dwell on the past. We're allowing us the richness of the moment. And that's really, really what we want, right? Like, think about it. What is your day like today? Look at your day. I want you to look at your day and I want you to pick something that would be really awesome to really embody, really experience, not miss, not be dissociated from. So I'll tell you one of mine. So I'm in New York City, which is my absolute favorite place in the world to be. I love vacation. I love the beach. I love experiences and travel and new things and lots of places. But New York City is my heart and my home. And I get to spend the day here today with one of my favorite people in the world. So I'm excited. And there are lots of things coming up for me that I'm going to have to do in the next few weeks and months that are pressury. And there are a lot of things that have happened the past couple years that I really could dwell on if I felt like it. But because I understand that life is a cycle and I will always move from struggle to remembering that I have power and rising into that power, and to enacting that power, that personal ability to make changes in my life and to be in that space of bliss and connection in the moment. But I know that then I'm always going to have to cycle down into struggle because I know that and I don't fight it. I can be present today for my New York City. I'm going to go for a run at the reservoir in Central Park, and I'm going to eat yummy food, and maybe I'll do some shopping, and I'm going to see people and talk to people that I love. I'm going to breathe the air of the city and feel the energy of it. That's what I want. What do you want? What do you want from your day? What can you have if you're not constantly fearing that you can't stop the cycle? Because what I'm saying to you is, you can't. This will never end. There will always be impossible conflicts. Oh, well, here we are. Pass the potatoes. You know, that's how we have to do it. So the last thing I'll leave with in your shares is that Erica said, I don't know the end of the story, but I know it will be a good one. So if we have to think in a linear way, because we can't help it, we are time lovers, us human beings. When we have to think that way, let's remember that that's how we build faith. That's how we build a life well lived, with experience and acceptance and reaffirmation. Left foot, right foot, breathe one day at a time. This too shall pass. You are not a problem to be fixed, a box to be checked, a symptom to be alleviated. You are a human being living an embodied and complex human experience. Remember, we are here to allow, name, and release. Allow our human experiences, see them with open eyes, name them in our journal, speak, fully feel them. The joy, the pain, the conflict, the suffering, the anger, the fear, the grief, feel them, name them, and then release them so we can make space for what might thrive in its place. Our highest versions, our best life. Life is whack-a-mole, guys. Remember whack-a-mole from the boardwalk? I live near a boardwalk. There is whack-a-mole. I have played it. I have seen it. Those moles, they come flying up from the game and you whack them down with the mallet. And the second you do, another one pops up. Life is whack-a-mole. If we expect it not to be, that's when we suffer. But if we can live within the acceptance that this is what we're here for, and that within each space, even the hard ones, there is a place for peace and freedom, that's when we get the stuff. That's when we get to wrap our arms around our kids and kiss them and love them, even though they make us feel the worst pain, because when they suffer, we suffer. That's how we get our moments. So I hope this did a good job in helping you understand the symptom imperative, which is the way it presents in pain. Understanding the struggle imperative, which how it presents just in life, and understanding that you can find the space for peace in any of it if you don't expect it to be different than it is, if you don't need the moment to be other than it is. Maybe you could say to yourself in all your challenging moments, maybe this is it. Maybe it doesn't need to change. And even though that's so impossibly hard, in those moments is when you're going to see awakenings, when you're going to see that pinprick of light come through, when you're going to stop resisting something and it will stop persisting. I promise you, this is real and big and possible for you. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to, you know, because I'm human, by the way, and I fall into this chasm all the time of, oh no, what am I going to do? And I say, yeah, yeah, yeah. I wake up as quickly as possible. And so I'm going to do that as much as possible today. And I'm going to invite you to do the same. And I'm going to tell you that I want to hear from you more and more and more and more. Go to speakpipe.com/Nicole Sachs, N-I-C-O-L-E. S-A-C-H-S. It is linked in my website on the resources page. Go to thecureforchronicpain.com. You can click on the SpeakPipe link right from there on resources. You can click on it from my Instagram bio at Nicole Sachs LCSW. We have a huge Instagram community, always in good conversation there. You can go to my Journal Speak page, Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs LCSW, closed group on Facebook, thousands and thousands of people supporting and loving each other. Avail yourself of help. avail yourself of support. It matters so much. And if you want to really put your pedal to the metal and learn this stuff with me in the room with me, and if you want a hug, come to the Omega Institute this summer. I'm preparing for this retreat right now. I cannot wait. It is August 7th through the 12th at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. You can go to eomega.org and search my name, or you can go to my website on the retreats tab and sign up to join us. I cannot wait. All right, my loves. As always, it has been such a pleasure to be with you guys today. I love talking to you. I love being with you. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sachs on the Summer Series on the Cure for Chronic Pain Network, and we will see you then. Bye-bye.